And welcome back to the Full Circle Healing Podcast, where we merge modern cutting-edge science with traditional healing wisdom and everything in between to help you come full circle back to your original natural state of health and well-being. I'm your host, Michael, and over the past 15 years, I've helped hundreds of thousands of people find the information, practices, tools, resources, and experts they needed to find their way back to optimal health. Our episode today features two guests who together have created and founded the Healing Depression Project, a topic very important to my heart and my personal journey. Dr. Achina Stein is the clinical director of the Healing Depression Project. She's a leading expert in functional medicine psychiatry and a best-selling author with 30 years of experience helping people recover from depression. Dr. Stein's best-selling book, What If It's Not Depression? Your Guide to Finding Answers, offers groundbreaking functional medicine perspectives, instilling hope and providing healing pathways for those facing chronic depression. Sylvia Covelli is the visionary founder of the Healing Depression Project. She's an honors graduate from Boston College and a former social science researcher at Harvard. She pursued graduate studies in both finance and business law and dedicated her career to entrepreneurship, becoming a skilled business strategist. In parallel with her thriving career, however, Sylvia faced relentless and chronic depression, exploring over 60 different treatments without finding sustained relief. Her personal struggle, combined with her extensive background in human transformation and mind-body connection, led her to develop a program that remarkably eradicated 25 years of depression symptoms, leaving her depression-free ever since. In this episode, we're going to learn about a groundbreaking 45-day program blending functional medicine, metabolic psychiatry, and lifestyle changes to combat chronic and treatment-resistant depression. We're going to learn how Sylvia's journey from 25 years of depression led to the creation of this unique healing approach that's now helping others reclaim their lives. And why this work is so important to me personally, a bit about my own story in depression, and finally, what components are often missing when working with chronic depression, and how the Healing Depression Project addresses these missing pieces. This and so much more in this two-for-one feature, two guests on the episode. And if you find this topic interesting and you'd like to learn more about how the gut and microbiome influence our mental health and emotions, head over to rebelhealth.co/gutbrain. and gain access to a video training with microbiologist Kiran Krishnan focused on the gut-brain microbiome connection. And now, let's dive in. And we're live. Sylvia and Dr. Stein, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, this will be fun. It's like two for one, double bonus. We've got two guests on this episode because the project that you're working on, really, it's essential that we be able to talk to both of you to really land what it is, why it exists, what it does. And before we get into the questions, I'm going to do something I try to not do very much in these episodes and just hijack the conversation for 1 minute to share that this is personally a very important topic for me that I have suffered from and dealt with and navigated pretty severe depression for most of my life, even before I really knew it. Because I think a lot of people don't even realize that have either anxiety or depression. And for me, ADD also, or ADHD. But you start to read memes online and like checklists and do you have this thing? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh man, I'm all of those things. So for me, it was like a later discovery that it's not normal to kind of feel and think the way that I did. And I tried a lot of things. I went to a lot of different types of therapy and counseling, and I almost didn't make it through some of those periods. And I know what it's like to get hopeful about a thing and try it and it doesn't work and then get worse than you were before because you feel like you can't get fixed. And that's a whole nother thing. You feel like something's wrong with you, that you're broken. So anything around depression and helping people with really severe depression, I think is something that I'm personally really excited to learn more about and I think is really important. And when you look at the numbers today, especially in the US or like Western society, of mental illness, of depression, specifically of suicide, especially amongst men. It is, and not only amongst men, I know our industry just lost a really huge figure a couple weeks ago to depression and suicide, who was a woman. And, but I know men's statistics are like terrifying and through the roof. So this is just a super, super important topic to me and to everyone. So I wanted to preface that and just say thank you for doing what you're doing. And so now let's tell them what you're doing. And we're here today to talk about Healing Depression Project. And either one of you can lead with this, but I'm curious, before we get into the what is it and how does it work and all of this, how did it come about? How did this get created?
Well, everything started out of my own experience. I suffered from depression for most of my life, about 25 years. And well, as you were talking about it, it's really hard to live with depression. So it was a constant struggle. And plus, depression goes in cycles. So, you know, sometimes you feel a little better and, you know, those are the moments that there's hope. But then one day, any day, you will wake up and have the symptoms the same or even stronger. And then there you go in that continuous circle. So I went through that for so many years, and I look for help in every possible way that you can think of. I spent a lot of time, a lot of effort and financial resources looking for help. And I could not find something that was effective. Everything would give me, I mean, some things didn't work at all. But the things that work, you know, in a way, or they will always be temporary. So it'll be, you know, maybe I would be doing better for, you know, X amount of time. But then again, you know, the cycle will start again. The symptoms will, you know, eventually return. So that was extremely frustrating. And finally, about 5 years ago now, I put together a program for myself, because there was not a program that could really address this condition of, you know, when depression becomes chronic and when you have basically tried it all, then, you know, there's no more tools there to guide you or to help you in what to do. So I put a program together, and just out of my own, you know, desperation in a way, to my surprise, it worked. It did wonders. Actually, it eradicated from my life. So I've been, you know, symptom free for almost 5 years. And about 2 years ago, because that was, you know, when I got better, I was, you know, so excited and just recognizing all this new life that I had. I had to, like, you know, just get in touch with myself again, because when you go through depression for such a long time, in the process, you lose who you are. And there it comes to a point where actually you don't remember who you are without the depression. And then it's like, oh yeah. So, I mean, I was in this wonder for, you know, for quite some time, until one day, like, I felt a strong calling and, you know, maybe I had the maybe question, maybe what I did for myself could help others. And so that's how, like, the whole thing started. And at that point, I approached, you know, some doctors. I discussed, you know, what I had done for myself. And, you know, they were really, you know, surprised about, like, how, you know, how I put that together. And, you know, so then just a few months later, I had the blessing of talking to Dr. Tina Stein here with us, and Dr. Kat Toops, and we had dinner. I explained, you know, what I went through, and you know, and then I also told them, like, the treatment that I had put together for myself, and how I was thinking of, like, you know, putting that as the foundation, but then including all this amazing new science and that to reinforce it and to, you know, make it, like, you know, really powerful to give people, like, a real chance of overcoming depression, even if it's for, like, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years. People that I've been talking to, they've been for the longest time with depression. So they love it. And, you know, we started, like, putting everything together to finally, you know, be at this point where we are already accepting applications.
Wow, that's quite a journey. And I know how long those years are when you're looking for something to help. There's years of my life that have felt like they're 20 years long. So that's really incredible. And I'm curious, Dr. Stein, what was your initial reaction when you met and heard her story and started, you know, did some wheels start spinning a little bit there? Because what happened from that dinner conversation, which would be a fun for those who don't know, I've interviewed Dr. Kat a bunch of times too, and she's fantastic. And a shout to Dr. Kat for even introducing all of us. So, what happened there in that conversation that kind of led to the wheels spinning to create this, healing depression project?
Well, yeah, I mean, the fact that she was able to put a program together for herself is pretty amazing. Being that she's not a healthcare provider or psychologist, not in the mental health field at all. She is very, very smart, and she is passionate about everything that she does, not just, you know, resolving her own depression. And she just felt a lot of hope and persistence about it. She didn't give up on herself, and you know, it's really commendable to see that she was able to be successful. And when she talked about all the things that she did, it's like, oh yeah, of course, that makes sense. You know, it's all lifestyle changes, and you know, so, you know, diet, lifestyle changes, habits, stacking, all the things that she learned and how she went about doing it and coming to the conclusions like, oh, I have to do it this way. Oh, you know, and so she figured it out for herself, and it made sense to me, but it was just beautiful to see how she was able to accomplish it. And, you know, she's an N of one, but a lot of the things that she talked about, I was doing already in my practice, you know, as a functional medicine psychiatrist, and, you know, but doing it one at a time, as opposed to in a group format. And so it was great to see, great to see her journey and how she put it together and how she overcame that. And then the journey afterwards, like, oh, the depression's not coming back. Oh, I'm this type of person. Oh, this is part of my personality. And just the stories of how even her daughter didn't recognize her. Like, who are you? You know? I don't even know this person. Because if you think about the number of years and how old her daughter is, it's like, I've never known you. Like, you've been my depressed mom, you know? Right?
So yeah, I can relate to not knowing, like, what do I do now? Or who am I now? Or people, I just got my passport renewed, and that's every 10 years, my U.S. passport. And I looked at the picture from 10 years ago in my U.S. passport versus the one now. And it's like a completely different person. Like it looks like photographs, especially, like it's a different person because everything changes. And I look like younger and healthier and happier and like just a live person versus like a drone staring at a camera. And it was just so shocking to me to see them side by side. And if you had to choose in which photograph here is he older, you would probably pick the earlier one. And it's so many things just kind of turn on and play or dancing or like things that weren't accessible before. And it's got to be really cool for you too, with your daughter to be able to almost meet her in a different way. So, I'm curious, I know a bit about the project and what it is, but we've alluded to how it was created and how it all came about, but let's talk a little bit about what is the Healing Depression Project. And you mentioned as a group, you said that, Dr. Stein, that your work is a lot of one-on-one, but with this, you can, you know, address a group. So, before I get into any of the questions of like how it works or what is done there or what you guys have learned or any of that, what is it that you said you're starting to accept applications? What are people applying for? What are they applying to do?
Okay. So we put together a 45-day program where we blend functional medicine, metabolic psychiatry, and lifestyle medicine to help people overcome depression, even chronic and treatment resistant types. And we put all that together in a residential setting, a retreat style. 45 days, 30 days in a retreat in Austin, Texas, and then 15 days where the program continues, but the person goes back home. For really, it's a phase for integration, because that was one of the things that is really lacking in any residential program. So it's 45 days total, and during that period of time, we cover, it's a very comprehensive treatment, very holistic. So it covers, you know, body, mind, emotions, and spirit.
I love that you have the 2 weeks of integration. I think that these, I don't want to call them transformative experiences. Now, 30 days is a while, but this applies to, there's a lot of stuff being done out there for mental health, spiritual exploration, like anything from psychedelics to weekend retreats to whatever. People have, they go and have these transformative experiences or powerful, like deep experiences, whether it's for 1 day or 2 days or a week or whatever. And then they go back home. And that's gone. The structure is gone, but also the experience is gone. And there's nobody there to kind of help them. What do I do now? How do I integrate this? What does that even mean that happened? Like how? And so I think having that support going home, mm-hmm. I think it'll be a lot more successful than just giving people this peak, like great experience, and then being like, okay, go. Here you go. And I think that's where a lot, and rehab too, like rehab, rehabilitation from drug addiction and things too. All these things often lack this. There'll be a 30-day inpatient program for substance abuse or something. And then they're, okay, you graduated, push them out the door into the place where the substances are and the stress is and the triggers are and the things that really drive them are there. It's easier to feel good in a retreat setting. And then you go home to where the things are that, you know, so I love that. I love that. And go ahead, speak to that.
I experienced that too. I did over 60 different treatments, and many of them were residential. Many of them were retreats. Many of them were like, you know, for like very transformational experiences. But I couldn't agree more to what you're saying, Michael. It was just, you know, at that moment, and then you get back home. And I mean, two things happen. You lose the structure, so you don't know what to do. And actually three things. The second one is that even if you are able to overcome the lack of a structure, you don't know how. You don't have the tools on how to do that by yourself, like at home. And then the third thing is that it is terrifying to go back home because, you know, you were sheltered and then you're going back to reality, and you don't know how to deal with that. Actually, whenever I was going to those programs, the most difficult day that I would have for months is the day arriving home. And I remember one time myself just sitting in the carpet in my living room saying like, what did I do? Like I had, you know, no idea. And it was actually, I was feeling like worse than, you know, than before. So that, because of that, and because I went through so many of these programs, this is a program that I can't love it anymore, but just, I mean, the harder that I love it, because it has all the things that I knew they're lacking and that I couldn't find. So this program, it is taught as a training. So everything that we do, we provide the people with the know-how plus the tools. So our set of mind is that we don't want to teach it if you cannot replicate it successfully at home. So this is to set, this program is meant to set the foundation of a completely new life. So it's the beginning, is the starting of, you know, just something completely different that you're going to be able to continue when you go home. So is the way we teach it as a training, And then also this integration that you were talking before is not only, I mean, during the entire program, you're going to learn like how to do it. And then, you know, we'll go over on how to do it by yourself and give you all the necessary like skills and tools. But then when you get back home, we're going to be there every day, just confronting, you know, that difficult moment of getting back. And then how you can really make these your own, your very own routine, and how you can integrate it into, you know, into your life, into your schedule, into your obligations and everything that you have going on. And the idea with all that is to do something that that treatments for depressions are not doing right now, that is to give you a sustainable and long-term like relief from depression, because depression has been found over and over in studies to be recurrent and to be, you know, just keep coming back. So it is addressing those issues.
Okay. I love that you're working on that from experience and that you've experienced the lack of integration. And I love that you mentioned that this is teaching and that you don't teach anything that they wouldn't be able to do when they go home. Cause I think a lot of, especially retreat style things, I know that some of my trainings have been in retreat settings. Like I go to like an 8-day training module and it's this really transformative experience. And there's really tight knit community, which is something I want to ask you about too. Like it's a really, you get really close with these people and it's like this incredible experience and all these things happen and it's great. And then you go home and you can't recreate some of the things that I'm doing there. You can't recreate at home by yourself. And so I love that you're focusing on, recreatable, sustainable, teaching new way to live that, and it doesn't make sense to do stuff either to them or for them, that they're not going to have that person or that facilitator or that practitioner, whoever, like they're not going to go home and get these 6 treatments done every day because that's not feasible. So it's more of teaching them like a new sustainable way to live. And I heard some words mentioned in there, in some of your description that were, metabolic psychiatry, and I know Dr. Stein mentions functional psychiatry. So I'm curious what, that's one question I want to ask that I'm sure our audience might want to know. Metabolic or functional psychiatry, how does that differ from traditional psychiatry? Like what is that aspect of the program? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. So generally, I mean, traditional medicine, traditional psychiatry is, especially in a rehab inpatient setting, It's usually an assessment, a psychiatric evaluation, which is 60 to 90 minutes. And it's then followed with management of medication. It's less likely that the psychiatrist would do the psychotherapy piece nowadays. Back when 30 years ago, we also did the psychotherapy parts of it too. But nowadays, it's usually a licensed clinical social worker or a psychologist doing the psychotherapy piece. And there might be groups, there might be art therapy, usually meeting, you know, once a day or twice a day, supportive in some way. But that's kind of about it. You know, it's mostly supportive. There might be some discussion about sleep or exercise and how it's important, eating right, but the how and the why is usually not included in that. And what's different about functional psychiatry, which is functional medicine done by a psychiatrist, essentially, you know, so functional psychiatry is looking for the root causes of your depression and anxiety. And, you know, generally traditional psychiatry is the head up, and that's all they talk about, the biopsychosocial aspects of how it affects your brain. But it's more of, you know, looking at your inner thoughts and, you know, the trauma or with whether it's with a big T or a little T, you know, stressors and triggers might be addressed, and how you manage them or process them on some level. And there's a little bit of biology in terms of, you know, looking at your B12 folate levels, looking at whether or not you have hypothyroidism. There's some blood work done, even traditionally, to rule out certain issues. But functional psychiatry is much, much broader in terms of finding root causes. It's more than those things. And so we look, I look at how food is causing inflammation in your body, and looking at what foods are healing for you, looking at infections, chronic infections. So we would be doing testing to find root causes, whether it's blood, urine, and stool, and looking for chronic infections and there's a lot of research nowadays about how some chronic infections can cause depression and anxiety through disrupting the microbiome and those kinds of things. So foods, infections, toxins, and stress, all of which can affect your hormones, especially cortisol, and which then affect your sex hormones. So it ultimately, people realize they're all connected. My depression and anxiety can be caused by problems below my neck, it's not just a head bouncing into the office. It's a whole body, and your head is connected to your body, and inflammation in your body is going to affect your brain. I mean, when you say it that way, people like, yeah, that makes so much sense. Why haven't we been doing this all along? And still to this day, even though there are some traditional psychiatrists that learn about these connections, they still don't change their practice. I mean, I see a big difference nowadays. 10 years ago, there was no discussion about the microbiome and the brain-gut connection. And now there's so much more discussion about it. I'm really happy to see that even the American Psychiatric Association president made lifestyle the theme. Every year, yeah, there's a new theme. They made lifestyle the theme of this year. So I thought that's like a huge difference.
That's encouraging.
And yes, very encouraging. Encouraging.
It's fascinating to see some concepts go. And thank you for sharing all of that. It for this audience, it's probably like a no-brainer that, of course, diet and lifestyle things, and they know about. We've done a ton of training on webinars and master classes on microbiome and gut-brain connection and how the microbes. Like, I literally recorded last night with microbiologist Kiran Krishnan, and we talked about microbes creating neurotransmitters and synthesizing hormones, and how it's not that the microbes go in the brain. It's they can't, because the blood brain barrier, but they produce the things that affect how we feel in large amounts, some of them more than our own body produces those things. And so it's a fascinating topic. And 10 years ago, when I started interviewing people on these things, that was like a fringe, even in the functional medicine space, like the gut brain connection was still like loosely understood, kind of. And we knew that there's a connection between IBS and anxiety, for example. If you overlap those two populations, there's a lot of crossover, but the mechanisms weren't really that well understood. And now to hear that it's even getting some play in the conventional side of things means that it's come about 1,000 miles from then. So that's amazing to hear. And you answered about 3 of my questions in your answer to that one question on how you identify these things and the role of food and like inflammation. I'm curious if either of you know Brendan Vermeyer by chance. No, going to connect you guys. And I actually want this to be on the podcast. He's a FDN practitioner like myself, and he does a ton of work with neuroinflammation and has actually created a really fascinating blood work panel that is a ton of markers specifically to look at neuroinflammation. And I've learned that my history of concussions and brain injuries have probably contributed to my depression via microglial activation and like neuroinflammation. And Brendan was a really wealthy source of information for me on that. And his panel might be something you guys might want to talk to him about. So I'm going to connect that, and shout to Brendan. He's going to be on the, the podcast too, but it just clicked when you mentioned like inflammation. I'll connect you guys after the show. He has a great training on neuroinflammation for practitioners. So,
awesome. Thank you.
And you mentioned I love the residential aspect of it. I'm curious, are you planning on doing this? Like, people can just come and start and they're there 30 days and they leave, or is it groups or cohorts that go through it together? No. What is, like, everybody starts on the same day, or how are you going to structure that?
So there was a lot of, like, a study about this, like how to do it. And then, of course, there was me that I went through so many of those programs. And, you know, getting the things that really work is precisely having a cohort. So this impacts the healing in a wonderful way, because it's a group of people, number one, in a similar condition. This is only, like, you know, this is especially for depression. So the people that you're surrounded by is they're, you know, going through similar things. But then it's a group of people healing together and helping each other and learning through each other. So everybody starts on day one and everybody graduates on day 30th in the retreat. And then everybody continues with the 15-day programs at home. So that's how we're doing
that's
it.
That's how I was hoping you were going to answer that question. And I didn't, I told you guys before we went live, but the audience didn't see this. I intentionally didn't do the same amount of research I would do, because I wanted to ask these questions and hear the answers for the first time so that I can kind of come up with, like, my first reaction questions. And that was an important question for me. And I'm so happy that you answered it in that way, because I've witnessed the power of what that can provide, of that, like, acceptance and connection and, like, non-judgment, and everybody here is going through the same thing, and then the ability for them to kind of support each other, right?
Yeah. So it's that, plus you also build these new relationships in your life. These, you know, it's a whole, like, new support network of people that are you grow so close to them during 30 days. I did two programs, that each one for 30 days. And it's, you know, some of my best friends are from those programs. So you build something really close. And then we're also putting together, like, we're gonna put people together after that to do, you know, follow ups on each other. So, like, accountability partners is what we call them. So it's like, you know, you're gonna, you know, for if you whoever you grew close to, and, you know, it, given that, you know, the two people are interested in doing that, then they will, you know, act as helping each other to maintain these healthy habits. Change is difficult, you know. Change is a very difficult thing, and that's why it needs to be 30 days, and that's why the 15 days are so important. But then you're gonna need more support after that. We're gonna, like, you know, connect you with coaches and local doctors, all that. But, you know, you're gonna have also one or two friends that will, like, be like, you know, following up, like, do you do this? Are you up for this? And then that some days they're going to motivate you, and other days you're going to be the one that it's going to be, like, motivating them. For me, that was extremely powerful. I did that on my own. Just, you know, I reached out to a friend that we went together to a meditation retreat. I said, like, are you willing to do a meditation challenge? And she's like, what is it? And I'm like, well, we're going to meditate every day for 15 days. But I have to tell you, I have to write to you and tell you the time that I meditated, the meditation I did. And then you have to report back to me what you did. And then you must do it. And then we just count every day. And at least 90% of the time we have to do it. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, okay, I've never done this, but let's do it. So we started with that for 15 days. And then I said, can we add exercise after the meditation? And then you tell me, you know, what type of exercise you did for how long. And then I have to report to you. And she became this incredibly important person in my life. She lives in Europe. So, you know, sometimes when I will wake up, I will have already what she did or the opposite. Yeah. And then, you know, she kept going. And then she, like, you know, I said, like, okay, let's do it for 30 days. She's like, well, that's a long time. I don't know if I can do it. But then she said yes. And then we continued doing that. And from that, because I was doing all this by myself, so it was very difficult. I didn't have all this support that we have now put together. I mean, the truth is that I put together the program that I wish I had and that I never found. So since I had to do on my own, people like this became fundamental in my healing. So I'm replicating all these things that I found so successful and fun. And then, you know, nowadays she's such a close friend, is someone that I love. So, Susanita, if you ever listen to this podcast, thank you so much for everything.
That's so beautiful. And I think it's so essential and often overlooked. And there's so many studies now to the science end of this, of like human connection and community. And it's like, even I read a study that if people in care homes, elderly people who don't have family, if you like give them a plant,
right,
they live longer than people who don't have a plant, because they have connection with something. And this extends, I mean, you can multiply that, but I've done a lot of, I recently completed a training with some incredible teacher named Frances Weller, who's one of the world's leading experts on grief and grief work and grief facilitation. And he talks so much, not even related to grief, just on that loss of the village, what he calls the village, but connection and community that we have, and how much that even contributes as a probable root cause to anxiety and depression. I saw a meme the other day. It was a cartoon, and it was a koala bear hanging onto the stump of a tree, visibly shaking and anxious and eyeballs popping out. And all the trees were stumps because the forest was cut down. And then there's two people like analyzing the koala bear, saying, this koala bear has an anxiety disorder. And it's like, well, the forest is gone.
Right.
And so for us, like our natural like community, and I think going through in cohorts like that is a really powerful way to have that, like that connection. Like we're literally physiologically wired for, there's like, you know, responses in the body that happen in that connection. So, right. I think it's fantastic. And, I'm curious, isolation. You mentioned, oh, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, isolation is the new smoking, right? It's
I've read studies that it's almost equal to or exceeds smoking in all cause mortality and disease if right. somebody fits certain criteria. James Maskell has written a book on that and has a lot of information out now about doing like community care for functional medicine and doing group work,
right?
Not necessarily geared towards depression, but like functional medicine group work and that the importance of that type of connection. And I know with the work I'm going to start doing soon, like I want to do it in cohorts as well versus one-on-one, because there's incredible things that can be done one-on-one with different forms of therapy and practices and different facilitation, but you can't recreate that. Like there's things that can be held by a group that cannot be held by even the most skilled, like single individual. Like, I just think that I love it. So, before we get into like where people can learn more and things, I'm curious. You've mentioned food quite a bit and you've mentioned lifestyle habits quite a bit. So I'm curious if you can share some of those kind of like tips or what people would experience if they go through the Healing Depression Project, as far as like food and lifestyle and what they're taught, at least a few of your big needle movers, I guess I would say, for people with depression. And, you know, if somebody out there is listening right now, these might be a couple things that they could try implementing, you know, on their own that could help a little bit. So what kind of dietary, food related things or lifestyle related things do people learn?
So I think the big piece of it is understanding why sleep is really important, why movement is really important. I talked about, you know, not just the how, but also the why, which motivates people. They basically have a map, a roadmap, and see the light at the end of the tunnel, because people will be told, and they know, oh, sleep's important. you know, eating right's important, moving your body's important, but they don't really understand the why and the how. So if we really put a plan together for people to actually know, for me, this is how I'm going to do it, and this is why, which is why we call it a training, then they're more likely to actually follow through. And the other piece of it is that we are going to have them habit stack all these. It's not just doing it once in a while. It's literally doing it every single day and habit stacking everything that they've learned. So the foundations are really important. And the diet is specifically the ketogenic diet or a low carb diet. That's our target diet. And Patricia Daly is the person who will be implementing in our program that diet. She's going to be part of the one of the professionals who will be part of the program. And I'll let Sylvia say more about that. But I think the biggest thing is really addressing all the foundations and then addressing trauma, you know, whether it's a big T or a little T. And so, you know, psychotherapy will be part of it. Mindset, changing your mindset, looking at your belief system and how it interferes in your ability to move forward. And even psychodrama. I'm really excited about psychodrama because that's one thing that you can do in these groups. And so to sort of play out, you know, some of the things that happen in your life over and over and over again. And you can, you know, psychotherapy looks at these things more on a cognitive level, but you don't really necessarily address the emotional aspect and how you're stuck in certain patterns in your life on an emotional level. So looking at how fear is driven, you know, driving some of your decision making, how shame or guilt drives or anger, you know, drives some of your decision making. And you may not even be aware of it. Right. So bringing those emotions to the surface in a safe way is going to be really profound for some people. You know, if that's a piece of what's causing some of their issues, or contributing, I should say, to some of their issues. But I'll let Sylvia say more about Patricia Daly.
Yes. So, well, regarding food is a fundamental piece of all this. In my case, I think is something that did drastic change in the way I was feeling, my energy levels. So for us, food is a big piece of the program. Our nutritionist, as Sachina was saying, is Patricia Daly. She is an expert on the keto diet. The keto diet has been shown a lot of promising results in chronic mental health conditions. So we are going to implement it. Of course, it's going to be like, you know, based on like the doctor and the nutritionist, and there's no one perfect diet for everything. But what this diet, especially like a diet with no sugars and very low carb, moderate proteins and high in good fats has been shown to be really good for brain cells. So, because metabolic psychiatry says that, especially Dr. Chris Palmer, that mental disorders are metabolic disorders of the brain. The good news is that the metabolic disorders can be addressed, they can be reversed, they can be treated. And the way to do that is through food. So it's basically how your body, how your cells are, not only what are you eating, but how your body's processing that food. So this type of nutritional intervention also helps your body to kind of reset and helps all those possible, you know, metabolic disorders that you have, you know, on a cellular level. So that's what we do from that perspective. And you asking if, like, for people that are listening, what can they do? And of course, for any dietary change, they need to speak with the doctor and their nutritionist or their nutritionist. But something that I did that I found very powerful and that goes together with all this metabolic psychiatry is I started doing intermedia fasting. So in my case, I did it for 16 hours, 16 hours where I was just fasting. And then that fasting, I would break it with a breakfast with zero sugar and zero carbs. So that first meal of the day, it was only like proteins or and fat. So like a mix of those. So that's something that really changed so many things. And in a short amount of time, I'm always surprised to see how grateful, if I can find a word, the body is, that despite of like, you know, mistreating it for a long time, when you get into something good in a matter of days, I mean, of course, to see like something bigger, it takes weeks. And then, you know, to see a sustainable improvement, you need to do it, you know, every day forever. So it's not just eating healthy X amount of days. But what I was going to say is that just in a few days, I would start feeling that difference in my levels of energy. So that is regarding food. And for food, we're also going to be teaching people, you know, from ingredients, from chopping, going to the supermarket, like what do they chop if you're shopping online? And then of course, like the cooking piece. And if you're not the cooking kind, then how can you order and what, you know, what to do, how you can have this healthy, clean diet. So if, so regarding diet, I think if they cut sugar, and they do some hours of fasting and the breakfast does not contain sugars or carbs, that's already a good start. And that's something that will bring to most of people a sense of, you know, they will see a difference there. So that is, food is, you know, a constant in the program and something that, yeah, that we're going to help you change.
Yeah. Sometimes people get afraid when they hear the word keto diet. And so I want people to understand that we're going to start where you're at. And it's not being forced to do anything. It's more that's our target diet, just because of the research behind
yeah, for the brain, for neurological conditions, not just for like depression and anxiety, but also you guys, we talked about Dr. Kat earlier, but also for Alzheimer's, dementia, like any brain related conditions, the research is pretty indisputable, at this point that's,
even
very beneficial. Seizures,
schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. So it's not just depression, anxiety, but also even schizophrenia. So, and bipolar. So I think it's really important to understand that there's a lot of research behind it, but implementation is going to be different for everyone. And so for people to not get discouraged by hearing we're keto, there's so many different types of keto diets that I think it's really important to understand that there are healthy versions of it as well. And that everyone starts going to be starting at a different place. So we'll start where you're at and, you know, allow you to do it comfortably.
To me, I love that too. Like, to me, you guys are saying all the right stuff because extremes are not sustainable. Like extreme changes for a lot of people, it's meeting them where they're at. How can we get you from this point to this point? And I love that you teach them the why and like, here's why we want you to get to here. But I learned this when I first started working with clients that were pretty complex. I would spend hours writing up these like really complex protocols, diets, lifestyle. I'd give them like 192 things to do, basically. And then when I'd be all excited about our consults and I'd get on the call with them and I'd be like, here's your program. This is going to be awesome. You do this for like a month and you're going to feel awesome. This is going to be great. I'd have supplements and diet and lifestyle things and do this thing and this thing. And then I'd get on the next call with them. And they'd be like, I didn't do any of the things. And I'm like, why are my clients so damn lazy? Like, why do I get all these clients? And I'd be like, don't you want to get better? Like in my head, I'm like, doesn't this person want to get better? Don't they want to feel? And I had no concept of, I had one client ever who I gave like that kind of thing to, and they did it. And they did all of it. And they came back and they were like, I feel great. this is fantastic. I was like, can you just go talk to the rest of my people and tell them that you need to just do all the, I didn't understand any of this. And then since I've started learning about trauma and emotions and nervous system regulation and like all these and stories and patterns and beliefs and all of this, I realized that it's not possible for like 99% of people to be sustainable with something if you're right. flipping their life upside down completely on its head from day one. So I love that this is 30 days and not 5 days. Right. And I love that you're saying like meeting people where they are and leading them towards the ideal. And a month is a long time. If you're in a inpatient retreat setting, 30 days is a long time. Like you can get from a lot of point A's to point wherever's, over 30 days, if that's what you're singularly focused on. But I love that, that it's not like, let's jump off this cliff and see if you can swim.
Yes. The key word that Sylvia used is reset. We really want to reset the body and the brain. And the ketogenic diet is really, really good at doing that. And because it activates the glymphatic system, you know, the glymphatic system is the lymphatic system of the brain. We want to really drain these toxins out of the body. And one way to start draining the toxins is to avoid them altogether. And carbs are pretty toxic to especially in our diet, in the American standard American diet. It's very, very high, not just in carbs, but also, you know, ultra processed foods. You know, finally, there's research that's showing ultra processed foods are just so unhealthy for you, and limiting grains. And so if we can sort of think about it as cleaning out the house of your brain and then allowing for the healthy lipids and amino acids and neurotransmitters to sort of settle into the house, because now you've cleaned out all the toxins, then you can sort of settle into a diet that feels right to you, you know? So it's, we're kind of using it as a reset.
I love it. And, I noticed, I do, well, now I feel a lot better most of the time, but, for my anxiety specifically, doing intermittent fasting, I do a 3-day water fast every like, I'd like to say every 6 to 8 weeks, but it usually ends up being like every 10 to 12 weeks because I forget. But the mental clarity and lack of anxiety and like this, I know there's all kinds of different forms of depression, and I probably won't use the right technical word here, but mine presents itself as like a doom cloud. Like everything is just shaded as like bad, like everything's going to go wrong. Everything feels overwhelming. Everything feels like hopeless. The cloud cleared when I would, and this was before I'd really made huge progress with my depression. I started playing around with fasting, and I'd noticed that once I could switch my focus from like, damn, I'm really hungry right now, to, wait, I can, in my ADD, like all of it, it was like, a cloud and a fog. And the anxiety is kind of like lightning in the cloud in the fog. It's kind of like all of that just was like, and I was sort of like where I was last week in the mountains. Like it was just cleaner. And at one point I was like, man, maybe I just don't eat food anymore. But then that's not very feasible either. And I'm not advocating everybody jump right into a 3-day fast because that's pretty difficult off the bat. But the shorter fast and the ketogenic diet has a similar kind of feeling to it for me, at least when I do it, it's kind of like a mental clarity that feels good is how I would describe it. And so if anybody out there is like hesitant or whatever, at least for the brain, I give 3 votes for both the fasting and the ketogenic lower carb approach, especially like super refined foods and sugar, like that kind of stuff. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'll notice within 20 minutes after I eat stuff like that, that like my mind doesn't feel very good and my brain doesn't feel very good.
They're poison for the brain.
It just is like, especially for my like ADD symptoms go through the roof when I eat that stuff. And there's ingredients in American food. We don't have to get into this, but there's ingredients in American food that are like research proven to contribute to neurological symptoms and attention problems and whatever, especially like the colorings and the dyes and things that they don't allow over here. That was the first, I got interrogated when I moved to Italy by people. They're like, why do you let them put that stuff in your food? And I was like, one, who is allowing, who are you talking? I don't make the rules, so I'm not the guy to talk to, but they're curious about like why, like we know it's bad, why? And I said, well, that's a long discussion and I'm not going to be able to answer it right now. Talk to the people who take the money to let it be in the food. So I think it really sounds fantastic, and it's something that I wish I would have had access to a while ago when I really needed it. And I've been fortunate enough to find my way, like my own, kind of like Sylvia did, and find your way to a more peaceful and like, I don't know the right word to use for you, but for me, it was like peaceful way of existing, especially when things get hard. I'm more resilient, because that's when it would all, like you mentioned, you'd be feeling great and then something would happen and it's like, here I go again. I wish that I would have had something like this, because it would have shortened the learning curve and the time and the energy and the effort and the years lost. And I like that you mentioned the money, because I know that retreat settings and inpatient things and all of this, this type of thing is not cheap to do. And I know that, and that's like a whole nother conversation, but, neither is trying like 117 things. Mm-hmm. It just takes longer. Like it just, like the time it would take you to spend X amount of money is longer if you're trying like 16 types of therapy and a bunch of different diets and a bunch of different supplements and a bunch of different this and this therapist and this counselor. If I added up all the money that I spent on things over the time that I was trying to get better that didn't help me, I don't want to know the number because I'll probably like get sick, but it was a lot.
You'll get depressed again.
Yeah, I'll get depressed again and be like, man, what would I do if I had that money now? But it's expensive. And it's expensive to be depressed too, because you can't do things. So I'd love to now kind of jump over to, you said people have filled out applications. What's the status of this? And where can people go to learn more about it, to fill out applications? Like how, if somebody's out there listening and they're either interested for themselves or a loved one, because I know that it's really difficult to be family members and close friends and loved ones with people who suffer in this way. And there's a shame around it. Like there's a guilt around it because people tell you like you're really hard to be around. And that sucks to hear that. So if it's somebody in your life or for you, if somebody out there is listening, like where do they go? What do they do? What are the action steps that they would take?
So our next program is March next year. We're taking applications now. We still have spots. We already have people signing up for the program. We know like how expensive like residential care is, especially here in the U.S. But we were super lucky. We got a lot of like private funding for this. So we're giving incredible scholarships to people for the programs next year. We have two programs next year, one in March and one in August. This is something very exclusive. It's a very unique opportunity because it's only two programs a year and each time only 15 participants. So it's, and then for those programs, we're going to be granting scholarships. The scholarships can cover anywhere from 50 to 80% of the full cost of the program, making it like extremely accessible. And especially if you think, you know, as you were saying, like how much money are you spending right now on, you know, on the things that you're doing, even, you know, like eventually, like if everything works well, you're also going to be not needing like medication or not as much medication. So that's also something that you're constantly like spending money, or at least I was. And And so it's, plus it's something that, you know, is the way it's going to be done is for it to be sustainable and for you to be able to do it, you know, on your own with, you know, with the support that you regularly would need, of course. And the place where they can go is our website is healingdepressionproject.com. And you're not going to find there an application because there's a whole application process. We're really studying the applications. We want to make sure that the program is a good fit for the person and that we're really able to help them. So the first step is to schedule a call. There's an option on the website. Or you can also do healingdepressionproject.com/call. And then you will schedule a call. At this point, the calls, we're taking the calls directly. So you will get one of us. You will get me or Dr. Stein. And eventually, if you advance through the process, you will get us both. And there's an initial conversation where you just tell us, you know, like, you know, your story, and then we'll tell you how the program works. And if it fits, if it feels like a good fit for both parts, then we'll send you an application. You fill out the application, and then the process goes from there. And yeah, that's how it's working right now.
That's really exciting. And I knew when I got the email from Dr. Kat and how excited she was that it was something I was going to be interested in. So I'm grateful that someone is doing this because it needs to exist and there needs to be more of it. Like, I know you guys are just getting started. There needs to be more. Like, this needs to become a dupe. Like, there needs to be more. Like, once, I'm sure the goal is to grow this, but there's so many people that need this kind of help. And so I hope if there's people out there listening and they hear about this and they take the time to explore it, because one of the traps of depression, at least in my experience, is the belief that you can't get better, that something's like fundamentally flawed with you, that something's like broken to the point. And so you'd hear something like this and you might, oh, that sounds interesting. I'm glad that helps somebody, but it's not going to help me because I'm the messed up one. Like, I'm too messed up for this thing. And I thought that way for a really, really long time. And, it's not true. That's just another story. So, I challenge that story and invite you guys to go check out what they're doing. I'd love to keep in touch and learn more and maybe help out at some point if that's, I don't know,
great.
But I would love to be, you know, connecting you guys with more people that I know that might be helpful, like Brendan and others. And I know that oftentimes there's a powerful story behind projects around depression and around mental illness because somebody involved. And that's why the people I would love to connect you guys with, everybody's doing their mission and their thing with mental health because they've been through it. And that's why I'm transitioning to the work I'm doing, because once I felt better, I was like, oh my God, this is like way different. And I didn't know this was possible. I cried the first day I noticed I didn't have my cloud. I had to pull over driving because I was crying.
Wow.
Because like, I didn't think that was possible. And then once I realized it was possible, I said, well, this is what I have to do now. Like, this is the thing I have to do is one, stay like this, and two, help other people have this versus that. And I think that there's so many driven people in this space, particularly because of what a powerful experience that is. I saw Sylvia react to that because I'm sure you can relate. And so, and you're going to give that to people, and it's such a powerful gift. So, thank you so much for doing what you're doing. Thank you for coming on here to talk about it and for sharing it. I'd love to get updates in the future and stay in touch. And if you're out there listening, please go check it out. Is there any last thing you'd like to say to anybody that's considering this?
Yes, I would love to tell people that there is absolutely hope. I see it in my practice every day, people resolving symptoms of depression, anxiety, as well as other medical chronic conditions in tandem. But there's also, we're going to be doing research. That's why Dr. Kat Toops is involved. She's going to be our research director to prove that this is possible. A lot of research these days is to prove that, oh, this molecule or this thing in isolation helps to resolve a certain condition. But I think what we've been saying all along is that it's a combination of things, like a chain, and you can't isolate one thing and say that's going to help with depression when it has to be connected to all these other things together. And so I want people to understand, I hope they have, you know, elucidated that what we're saying is that it has to be multiple things connected together to resolve your depression. And that's what Sylvia found out. It's not just doing the things some of the time, it's doing all the things all the time that's specific for you. And it's all connected. And so it's really, we want to show that it's really doing all of the stuff that will resolve your depression. And it's very different type of research as well, because it's not classic. It's not going to be a classic way of studying.
It's more difficult to do, and you don't have drug companies dumping billions of dollars into it. So
right,
it's
of course.
Good thing you've got Dr. Kat, though. That's a good anchor in your side. It's a good person to have on your team, because she's been doing such incredible studies for her for dementia and Alzheimer's. Yeah. So,
right.
Any last words from you, Sylvia, that you want to say to anybody?
Well, to you first, I want to say thank you. I mean, not only for having us, but for being so open about your story. I think that's what people need to hear. Mm-hmm. And I would like to finish with something that Dr. Stein was just talking, and it's like hope. So if anything out of this conversation, I want people to get hope, because it is not true that depression cannot be overcome, and it is not true that you are broken beyond repair. So that is something that we start thinking as the process gets very frustrating and as we don't find a solution. So you're not the problem. The problem is that current treatments are not being effective. And so give yourself another chance. Just keep trying, you know, whether it is this program or something else, but just keep exploring, keep researching, and keep trying, because a lot of people every day, just like Michael, like myself, that overcome depression and get over, this, terrible condition and discover a new life. So that's my invitation, just to keep having hope, and keep trying, because eventually you're gonna get better.
Mm-hmm. Well, the hope is the key, and it's a great message. And thank you, Dr. Stein, Sylvia, grazie mille, and
okay, anche a te,
auguri. And so I'm excited to see where this goes. And thank you both, and we'll do this again in the future and check in.
Yeah,
thank you.